Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
And thank you for joining us today and welcome. This is an hour devoted to learning something more. Not just about the world of shoes and ships and sealing wax, as my lovely bride insists I say it, but about how, what, and why we think and believe as we do. An hour for the open-minded, willing to challenge some of those old ideas behind what we think we know, who we are, and who we might become. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Provocative Enlightenment. All right, our chat room is open, and my partner Ravinder awaits you there now. You can log on by going to Eldon Taylor, that's ELDONTAYLOR.com/chat. So Ravinder, say hello to the folks and let us all know what's happening in your chat room today.
Well, hello, everybody. It is a beautiful day, and we are having fun in the chat room. And my lovely husband is chasing me with a stick right now because he says I don't speak loudly enough. So if you can't hear me, come in the chat room and you'll find me, eldontaylor.com/chat. And I like that stick, so I don't care.
It's your radio voice. You know you will. Okay. Okay. Every week I read some of your letters as our way of paying respect to the very important role you play in making this show successful. Last week, our show featured Dr. K. Paul Stoller, and he shared with us the messages he has received from his late son, Galen. We received a lot of mail as a result of his appearance, and almost all of it was positive. We will be inviting him back to the show soon. Kevin wrote, "Really awesome and impactful show. Please, please, please have Dr. Stoller back as soon as possible." Ruth wrote, "Great show, making my afternoon dog walk so pleasurable. Thanks to the both of you." S.A. wrote, "Yet again, you bring to light wonderful people and wonderful content. Very interesting. I hope you have him back as I felt he had much more to offer. I immediately purchased his book." Now, in contrast, Kaylin wrote, "Wow, this guy is so out of touch. Dr. Stoller inferring that people will be judged after crossing over, especially in his comment regarding alcoholics. They will be punished if their lives come to an end because of their actions. He obviously knows nothing about the disease of alcoholism and or recovery, and yet he pathetically throws out negative, judgmental prognostications. Ignorant, unenlightened persons like this are very harmful in the medical profession." Cindy wrote, "At the start of your show, my heart was racing. I was excited about this topic. I immediately went to Amazon and ordered 3 copies of Dr. Stoller's book. Then halfway through the program, I canceled my order. My heart sank and I knew why. I am being pushed to share my story. I had a similar experience to Dr. Stoller after my father passed. I began to get messages from the other side, messages from an extremely high vibration. How did I know these thoughts were coming from a higher vibration? I knew because they were our pure love. I now have a divine wisdom that I need to share with the masses. We all have this wisdom. There is no judgment on the other side, not even a tiny bit. There is only love. There is one source, love energy. We come in as a soul of pure love and light, and we leave as a soul of pure love and light, no matter what we do while we are here. There is no judgment, no rules." Now, Cindy copied Dr. Stoller her letter, and he kindly copied me into his reply. This is how he answered Sandy. Quote, "It is difficult in the context of a radio interview to explain a very difficult subject. We live in a benevolent, love-based universe. There is no judgment, but there are rules of conduct no matter what dimension one finds oneself on in this universe. On the earth's plane, if one cuts off one's arm, there is no punishment, but there are consequences. An armless person should not expect to be a star tennis player, for example. There are malevolent universes and there are antimatter universes. The destruction of life, the disrespect of life, is an energy that belongs to the malevolent universe. We all have free choice, but taking free choice does not always equate to increasing one's freedom or opportunities. A suicide will spend however much time and energy having to navigate through a process that move them to take an action that is not consistent with the energy our universe operates on. It is not about judgment or punishment. It is about healing. It is about bringing balance back to the patterns that created hopeless despair and a very self-oriented point of view. Galen and I feel it is very important that taking one's life should not be viewed as an opportunity to have a clean, fresh start somewhere else without having to deal with the consequences of the energy set in motion by the suicide. If this does not resonate with you, that is your choice and your understanding. Close quote. Now, Yulia wrote, Dr. Newton, who, by the way, was on your show, also writes in one of his books about suicide and the consequences on the other side. Souls regret the suicide very deeply because they realize that the lesson will have to be repeated. And I did think that Dr. Stoller was very brave in the way he commented on suicide. The topic is sensitive, especially when we discuss the terminally ill. All right. Thank you, Yulia. You know, in your Just for What It's Worth department, it doesn't make any sense to me at all to think of this world as a school without grades or consequences. I recently looked at a book where the author, speaking to a loved one on the other side, makes it clear that there is absolutely no consequence to your actions here. So just have fun. You know, go for the gusto, the hell with anything else. No judgment of any kind by anyone. So I guess those good old boys that we thought were committing atrocities, the likes of Hitler and Stalin, or those serial killers dismembering young women, well, they actually have no consequences for their behavior. I think not. That's my personal opinion anyway. Moving on, Lance wrote, love your show and love InterTalk. Now, there's a pithy comment I can love. How about you, Rev?
I like them pithy.
Ravinder, Andrea wrote, but it's not our Andrea, right?
Not that I know.
Okay. I listened to the evening InterTalk CD all night Saturday night and then began the daytime CD on Sunday. Basically, I cried almost all day Sunday and then began to realize yesterday that I have been avoiding the grieving process for the last 6 months. Listening to the program facilitated an action somewhat like lancing an infection. I apparently was quite stuck, and now I can feel myself moving forward. Your work is amazing, and I'm very grateful. Thank you so much, and may you be blessed bunches. I like bunches. How wonderful, Andrea, and how great it is. And how great it must feel for you to be free. I like that metaphor, by the way, lancing an infection. Powerful yeah. Metaphor. Dora wrote, I received my InterTalk Resolution Solution package about a week ago, and I have been listening to them as prescribed. I do notice a shift taking place. I was ready for the change, and I am so grateful for these mind programming tools because they are really helping me. There was resistance at first and a lot of pain before the breakthrough to acceptance of the positive changes in my mindset. I am committed to staying the course and watching as my life unfolds in a beautiful and successful manner, bringing me all that I desire. One of the things I really struggled with before listening to these CDs was naming my desire. It was as though I was resisting that at a very deep subconscious level, which was blocking me in all ways. I would never consciously deny myself access to my desires, but I am learning that my subconscious has another agenda. The InterTalk mind programming CDs are changing that aspect of my mind. I am grateful. Keep up the great work. I look forward to many wonderful changes as I emerge from my veil of confusion into clear knowing. Well, congratulations, Dora. How wonderful. What do you think of that, Rev?
That's a huge step.
It is interesting for each and every one of us when we have that little epiphany that that instructs us, hey, you know, the subconscious agenda is not the same as my conscious agenda.
Yep.
At least not always. In fact, that's the subject of today's show. So, all right, that's all the time we have for letters today, but I do invite you to opine by sending your email to eldon@eldontaylor.com or by joining me on Facebook. We can't get all of your letters on the air, but they do impact our programming. And once again, I both appreciate and thank you for your feedback and continued support. Now to today's show, Undermine, discover the 7 beliefs that sabotage your mind and how to overcome them. You know, I had the opportunity to review this book before publication, and it's one of the best I've read. Undermined. The Undermind, M-I-N-D, the subconscious, something I have worked with and studied for over 30 years. Our guests today have developed a methodology designed to permanently rewire the negative subconscious programs in the mind and replace them with freedom, inner peace, and confidence to live the life of your dreams. I like their work. Indeed, I liked it enough to write the foreword for their book. So let me tell you a little bit about the authors. Joanna Andros and Tanya Chernova are the best-selling authors of the groundbreaking book, Undermind, Discover the 7 Subconscious Beliefs That Sabotage Your Life and How to Overcome Them. And they are the co-founders of the empowerment company, Courageous Living. Joanna is also the creator of the revolutionary new therapy called PNRT, or Progressive Neuroresolution Therapy. Together, they have built the International PNRT Certification Program for Therapists to provide a fast and effective way to permanently rewire the negative subconscious programs in the mind and give people the freedom, inner peace, and confidence to live the life of their dreams. Sound good? Maybe too good to be real? Well, I don't know. Let's find out. Let's get them in here. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Joanna Andros and Tanya Chernova.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us on your show, Eldon. Yes, thank you very much. We're thrilled.
Now, we've got both of you on the line here, so I'm going to just have a conversation with the two of you. On your side of the show, please, you decide who will answer the question so we don't find ourselves speaking over each other.
Yep, we'll be good at that.
Good. Okay. That said, to begin with, I would like each of you, in turns, obviously, to identify yourself so our audience knows who you are and tell us a little bit about yourself, including the name of your song of life. And that is, I mean, by that, if you were forced to choose one song that is your mantra for life, what would it be and why?
Eldon, that's fantastic. What an excellent way to, you know, introduce this show. Okay, so this is Tanya Chernova. If I had a song that would highlight my life, it would be, Life Lift Me Up Where I Belong. You know, up really, it's an uplifting song, and I truly believe that the song that sings my life is the one that highlights the fact that I'm always striving to reach my most full potential, my greatest JPM or joy per minute, and to give as much as I can from the light that I have.
That's a great answer. All right, that's Tanya.
That's such a great answer, Eldon. I don't even know. I'm like, I was so prepared to talk about something else, and I'm like, the song of my life, that's a unique question. I think, you know, I Will Survive. You know, I think that's probably got to be the first one that pops to mind. I've had a few life and death experiences, almost died twice. I've had a kidney transplant and a few different experiences in my life and starting my life again multiple times. So I think that would probably be the first one that would come to mind for me.
I Will Survive. You know, this question comes about because I had a conversation with Dee Williams, and Dee Williams said to me, we should all have a song of life. Because that song of life, it actually reveals what our expectations, what our subconscious desires and motives are, you know.
Yeah.
If our song of life happens to be one of those country western songs, you know, the train ran over my dog and the bus hit my mother-in-law, well, you know, we're kind of asking for that in our lives, aren't we? And
exactly.
I thought, okay, now look, you get two experts on the subconscious mind. What is it that we can understand or have revealed by them when they tell us what their song of life is?
Absolutely.
Mm. Good.
So it does tell you a story, doesn't it?
Now that you've analyzed us, how can we enlighten your listeners?
Okay, well, let's begin this way. What exactly is the Undermind, and why do you call it that, and what is the Wondermind?
Okay, great question. So the Undermind is actually a reference with a double entendre. It references the subconscious mind, because that's the mind that's the undermined underneath our conscious thoughts. And it's also referencing how we undermine ourselves with the limiting beliefs that are programmed into our subconscious mind. And the wonder mind is actually the conscious mind, because that's the area of the brain that we generate wonder, strategies, goals, creative thoughts that propel us into the future. And so the wonder mind has this phenomenal capacity to be able to wonder itself out of an old situation into a new one.
Now, when you say that, you know, the subconscious and the conscious, they, you know, we often are affirming things that the subconscious doesn't agree with because of defense strategies.
That's right.
And you know, the defense strategies must be unconscious and remain unconscious in order to work. That's by nature of the definition, right? So when you have these two disagreements between the undermined and the wonder mind, what is it that you would do to approach uncovering that disagreement or the source of that disagreement?
Well, what we do to uncover it, first of all, is by looking at the results in your life. Usually the results in your life show that there is some sort of struggle. You know, when we know that as a conscious adult, we're saying to ourselves, you know, I have a vision, I have a goal, I have things that I want to achieve in my life, but boy, it's just not happening, or I'm procrastinating, I'm distracting myself, things are just not working for me. Why is this not happening? Or, you know, we're out and out sabotaging ourselves. We see it, we feel it, that this, you know, something is just really cutting us off at the knees, if not at the hips, you know, and stopping our actions. Then we know there is this struggle going on. There's no flow. Nothing's working the way we want. And this is why we really wanted to bring this really out in the open to people's attention, of like, this struggle is exactly this, the two parts of the mind struggling together, or struggling at, with each other, one trying to go forward and attain what you need, and the other one, as you said before, Eldon, is in that protective mode saying, no, I want to keep you here in this comfort zone. I want you to keep you here where I know it's safe, even if it is a terrible place, even if it's something that, you know, is abusive or destructive. It's familiar, so it keeps them there. So this struggle is constantly going on with people, and so many people are frustrated with the whole thing of sabotage and why this is happening. So we wanted to help them understand that this duality, or this thing that's going on, is truly two parts of the brain really arguing with each other, but that you can overcome it. There is a way to heal and rewire those negative programs that are so contrary to our conscious thoughts.
Okay, now I just want to make sure I understand you here. What you're really saying is, if your life isn't working, if you don't have that which you feel you should have, if you are failing at your goals, your objectives, that the entire reason for that has nothing to do with your ability. It has to do with an argument going on between the conscious and the unconscious. Did
right.
I get that right?
Exactly. And we can look at that even as two parts, because, for example, somebody who will take a specific goal, somebody who has a weight loss goal, for example, you know, and they have a conscious goal to be able to be fit and look a certain size, et cetera. And so they'll lose the weight, but then they'll put it right back on again. And so we know that there's something deep down inside undermining them in the subconscious mind. So on the one hand, they have this conscious rationale that says, I need to be fit, I need to be healthy as I'm aging. And then the subconscious mind, the belief could be, I'm simply not worthy, or it's not safe to be thin, you know, or I'll get too much attention. I mean, there's underlying beliefs in there that are survival beliefs that keep them in fear. And so ultimately, without even realizing, they'll start emotionally eating once they get too far out beyond the subconscious mind's comfort zone. On the contrary, however, some people have striving goals, which are called should goals. And ultimately, they think they should be a certain level of success, or they should be a certain level of something. But the reality is, underneath it all, that's not at all what they want. And so some goals, believe it or not, are actually driven by the subconscious mind, because they, you know, we think subconsciously that we have to prove ourselves because we're not good enough. And so we're constantly trying to prove ourselves. But underneath it all, we don't even want to go in this direction. And so there's also failure from that particular sense of it.
That's a very excellent point. But now, with so much self-sabotage in the world, are you saying that that the only cause for self-sabotage is in this, is this disagreement between the two levels of the mind?
You know, it is the most profound area of self-sabotage. You know, I know that some people can just make an absolute choice every once in a while. You know, we can make a conscious choice. No, I'm going to just do something wrong, or I'm going to do something that's going to just blow this diet, or I'm going to do this, you know, because I'm going to treat myself to a big cheat day or just do something that is negative. Sure, they could make a conscious choice. But the majority of the time, it is truly something below their awareness, undermined, that is undermining them. Something that is, and why we know that is because as we were saying before, consciously as an adult, if we have any desires or a vision or a goal for something we want in our life, I'm always knowing this when I'm working with somebody, it's not about whether they're capable or not capable or anything like that. If they desire it, if they say they want it, they want this result in their life. That means in their mind they have a vision for this. They have the ability somehow. They can go for it if that's something that they're wishing. Anything that goes contrary to that, or anything that stops them, or you know, takes them off course, distracts them, or out and out sabotages them, we know then that is absolutely something wired in the brain that is saying no. Even if it's the voice that says, "Do it tomorrow." No, well, maybe next week, or we'll do it later. Just even those sort of things are all acts of sabotage. Like, where is that coming from when consciously you know, I put a goal here, I'm supposed to do this today, and then all of a sudden you have this part of you distracting, or, oh, let me just watch TV. Oh, let me just do this first. Let me do the laundry first. You know, whatever it may be, it's these little things. Very insidious, very simple. You think, oh, no, I'm just being really practical. And yet it is something underneath. Why is this happening when we have very strong conscious goals that we want to move forward in life and we want to get our goals and we want to achieve our dreams, and yet constantly we have this little voice that says something contrary? And that's why we want to bring that out to people. It's something to look at.
Right. Now, this inner talk, the stream of consciousness, something I've spent a great deal of time working on, obviously.
Yes,
but,
you sure did.
You know, what we're talking about right now sounds rather cerebral. And indeed, you know, emotions get really involved in these differences between the conscious and the subconscious as you're schematizing it. I mean, fear plays a major role here. So how does our emotion become augmented with this disagreement?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So essentially what happens is that the fight or flight mechanism is actually in the subconscious mind, because that's our survival part of our brain. That's what is programmed to help us survive through the world. And so what happens is that when we have a specific goal that we want to move forward, that goal is automatically outside of our comfort zone. And as we move towards the goal and start to change our habits and patterns, the brain goes into the space of unfamiliarity and unpredictability. And in the space of the unknown, the different parts of us that actually contain the sabotaging programs get triggered. So once we get triggered and the fear response begins, it almost detonates this entire chemical response that creates an emotional response of fear. People start getting nauseous, they get anxious, they get sweaty palms, they start shaking, they feel like everything's the wrong decision, they feel sick, they feel tired. Sometimes when people are moving towards, for example, we have so many coaches and writers that come to our programs, and they have a dream of writing a book, and then the minute that they sit down to write their chapter, they're exhausted. All they want to do is sleep, or they're hungry. I mean, realistically, what happens is that because the subconscious mind rules the body and all of the body's responses, the emotional response comes from that.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to hold there because we have a hard break coming up. But when we come back, this whole notion of how we cycle through the fear actually becomes a kind of conditioning, a Pavlovian conditioning.
Absolutely.
And I want you to explain that to the audience, all right, and how we break through it.
Thanks.
We're speaking with Joanna Andros and Tanya Chernova about their book, Undermine, Discover the 7 Beliefs That Sabotage Your Mind and How to Overcome Them. I strongly recommend getting this book. If you're not already in our chat room, now is a great time to join in the conversation. We have a short movie for you featuring our guests, so be sure to log on to eldentaylor.com/chat. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up after these words from some of our friends.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
And welcome back. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Joanna Andros and Tanya Chernova about their book, a great book. And I don't just say that because I wrote the foreword. It is truly a great book, Undermind. Discover the 7 beliefs that sabotage your mind and how to overcome them. But before we get back to the show, I want to invite you to join me on Facebook as a friend or a fan. I post regularly everything from where I am and what's on next to the latest in science, technology, and consciousness studies. And from time to time, some of my own opinions that from time to time lead to people unfriending me. So, oh well. I also want to remind you to be sure and register to receive my free newsletter when you visit my site and get your free MP3. All right, let's get back to our show. Before the break, I suggested that this fight flight actually can serve to condition us like a Pavlovian conditioning. That is, we think about doing something and we have a fear built into the thought. It could be a fear of success, a fear of failure. It could be an old fear that has to do with an experience we had. Maybe we were laughed at for the way we smiled, and so we failed to express humor. And then when someone challenges us or we think about expressing humor, we become fearful. And I suggested that each time we have these thoughts and we don't break through them, we don't correct them, we are actually conditioning them, so that they become more and more powerful. Are you going to agree or disagree with me, ladies?
We definitely agree with you, Eldon. And, you know, what we describe that as is actually the blueprint of self-sabotage. And what you're really talking about, you know, as far as we see it, is essentially as we continue to repeat this conditioned response, the neurons, the neuronal pathways in our mind, what fires together wires together. So as we actually continue to repeat this conditioned response, it becomes stronger and stronger, and we create what's, you know, a pattern in our lives. However, when we look at the actual root of that, we see that this is an entire actual blueprint of self-sabotage, because most people think that sabotage is an act, but really it's a process where, just as you so wisely said, at one point we experience a defining moment in our life or a trauma. And in that moment, and it could be something as simple as somebody laughed at us in a schoolyard or something much more traumatic as abuse, but whatever it is, at some point we make a decision in our young mind that there's a decision that we make about ourselves, about others, and about life in general. And this decision actually generates a belief, and that is what truly creates our perception in our life. And so once we have the belief that, you know, we're stupid, or we're not enough, or we're not worthy, or we're not funny, or we don't belong, or we're not safe, or people can't be trusted, and we develop these beliefs at a very early age because of that situation or that defining moment, it becomes almost like a skip inside of a record, for those people who still remember what a record is. And essentially, you know, that needle just gets caught in that skip. And so that as we get older and we are put back into these scenarios where that particular belief is triggered, we actually respond from, even if we could be 30 or 40 or 50 or 60, we respond from the eyes of an 8-year-old and the person that was still traumatized. And it's those same beliefs about ourselves, life, and others that get triggered. And so with this continuation and that constant triggering, we actually create an undermined part of us. So basically what happens is with the defining moment, we create a decision. This decision creates a perception, and this perception is the actual part of us that undermines us. And it communicates to us through either inner chatter or physical symptoms. And over time, that becomes a pattern or a strategic response, which is like the conditioning you're talking about. And then eventually, that pattern becomes our entire life. And that's why we have the results we do.
Yeah, very, very well said. And fires together, wires together is something everybody should just kind of put down, because that is the best way to think about the kind of conditioning that occurs. You outline 7 subconscious beliefs to sabotage our lives. Tell us, share that with us, please.
Okay, well, there's millions and
of conversations that we probably have in our mind, definitely hundreds for sure we can all relate to. But and there's some of those conversations are even positive and they can be good, and we have to have this inner chatter in our mind because we need that inner dialogue every once in a while. You know, we're going into our closet in the morning and we're thinking, what am I going to wear? We have a conversation with ourselves. That's okay. That's positive. And there's many times that there's a positive conversation. But when it's the negative, destructive, abusive talk, limiting conversations that we have, these are the conversations we really wanted to focus on. And to when working with so many of the clients that I work with, and this work that goes to the subconscious mind, working at finding out what is the source, where is it all coming from, what is it stemming from, these conversations, always at the bottom, at the very, very bottom, at the root of it all, are these seven fundamental conversations that always show up, and every time, and not with every client and every experience, but it's just very common to human beings. So there are core beliefs that are like, I'm not enough, I'm not loved or lovable, I don't trust, life is hard, I'm alone, I'm not safe. You know, these are some of those conversations, and every human being, we find it doesn't matter to what walk of life, what age, inevitably, it always stems from those kind of conversations. And then all of those hundreds or millions of conversations spring from those as well, and behaviors that come from that.
Okay, given that that's the instance, how is it you suggest that we go about changing these patterns or these conversations and overcoming self-sabotage?
Well, you know, Eldon, there's definitely a variety of ways. And first of all, your CDs are so completely effective, and we've been selling them even through Courageous Living for some time now. And so one of the ways is by reprogramming the subconscious mind using suggestions, whether they're from a CD or affirmations that we use, by deriving them from our conscious mind, what I'd rather believe. But that really takes, you know, quite some time to reprogram that. And some people really have defining moments that are absolutely traumatic, and they continue to be triggered and re-triggered. For people who are looking for an accelerated result, we've developed PNRT, which is Progressive Neural Resolution Therapy. And this is an advanced therapy that now we're teaching to psychotherapists and psychologists to work with their clients, so that instead of the 10 years of talk therapy that they do, really in 10 sessions and even from the very first one, they experience a profound sense of genuine resolution. And so part of this therapy literally goes, and you know, Joanna will talk a little bit more about it, but it's a type of talk therapy that accesses the conscious mind to help us move into the subconscious mind and access exactly where the source of the trauma or the defining moment is, where we actually develop this belief. Where did this start? And it's in that moment that we're actually able to create resolution and healing. And the person is able to release, finally, for the very first time, all of the emotions, the shame, the guilt, the blame, the sadness, the anger that's trapped in their body as well as their mind, as well as their conditioned response. And through this resolutionary process, the neurons do not wire together in that place anymore. And we actually rewire the brain so that there's a new conditioned response, which is the natural response, which is the one that is the updated response of the 30, 40, or 50-year-old, the way they want to respond to life as it is today, knowing that they are safe, because a lot of those thoughts that they have are irrational.
Okay, now, Tanya, before you pass me off to Joanna, I would like you to give me an example of what you just explained. Give me a client if you can, leave them anonymous, or just give me an example of how PNRT works.
I'll give you a clear example of myself, okay? Because you know, the way that I'm going to be very, you know, revealing, essentially, because the reality is that the road that we ask people to walk along is the one that we've traveled first. And that's why we're so passionate about this therapy. And so for myself, I grew up in a family which was extremely loving, but we had, you know, lots of types of divorce. My mother was remarried several times, and so was my father, and so was my brother. And if I look at the history of my entire family, it's nothing but, you know, one divorce after the other. So as you can imagine, growing up, the way, and especially from the very first divorce that I had with my father and my mother separating when we first came to Canada as I was an immigrant from Russia, I thought in that moment that it didn't affect me because it was so calm and everything was so rational. But as I grew up, I didn't trust love, Eldon, And I broke up every single relationship I had. And, you know, as a 36-year-old woman at the time, when I thought, okay, now's the time I really want to get married and I want to meet the right person, I realized, looking at the history of my relationships, I always picked people that were people that I needed to leave eventually because they were never the right match. And through PNRT, Joanna was able to go in and use this therapy to get to that space where I was as a 4-year-old child, a 5-year-old child, in the trauma of actually having lost my father, the first man you ever even have a relationship with that is intimate, that is trusting, that is loving. And I was able to, you know, resolve that those feelings and the fear that that child had, because ultimately it was that child that was making all of my choices for me, even as an adult woman. And I want to say that, you know, through the first session, it was a hugely profound shift, not only because I think what people really get is that they're amazed. I mean, Eldon, amazed that they cannot believe that a 6-year-old or a 4-year-old is making decisions for them as an adult. They just truly right. cannot believe it, A. And B, I had to go through several layers because it wasn't just the one incident, but there was several others, because what happens is that once we generate a belief that love cannot be trusted, because we create our life with our beliefs, Eldon, because our life is a mirror of our beliefs, as a result of that, at the age that we create this belief, it continues to show up that way. And so there were other beliefs that had to be taken out of the way. And I'm now married, Eldon, to the man of my dreams, happy, thrilled, and we take other women down the same journey. I mean, it's amazing.
And congratulations. Right. Great. Okay, but now listen, we've had a lot of emphasis on you teach. Therapists, this technology. Mm-hmm. Why should the average person read the book then? I mean, what are they going to benefit? How are they going to benefit from it?
Oh, first of all, I mean, there's a lot of exercises in the book. It is a workbook, so they really have an opportunity to really look at their life and see candidly, like, what is happening? What are the results in my life? Is it what I want as an adult, or is there something undermining me? And then there's a lot of other tests and worksheets that we have as well that trigger the subconscious mind. They actually have the ability to find out what are some of their subconscious beliefs. And it's shocking when people do this exercise and realize, oh my goodness, I would not rationally, consciously think that I have some of these beliefs. But when we do what we do with these exercises, they will be profoundly aware of some of the negative belief systems that are running them underneath, mm-hmm. undermined, mm-hmm. and how that they are producing the results in their life. And this is why they're not getting the results that they want in their life. So number one, they will get a profound awareness of what's going on in their life and not just like blame it on the outside world or everybody else or their parents, but realize that they have the power to change this themselves. And so they can use, as Tanya was mentioning earlier about the wonder mind, how amazing and powerful that is. That conscious mind has the ability in any moment to say, stop, you know, stop this right now, change the pattern, you know, decide something new, do something new. It is very, very powerful.
But, all right, Joanna, and I'm not going to let you switch me off either. I'm going to hold you up for a second.
Okay.
If it's all so, you know, so great, if this is what I'm going to get out of the book, you know, one of the things I like to think about is, and especially when we talk about subject matters of this kind, how often people will say to themselves, yeah, that's for me. You know, I'm going to make that change. Or, this makes sense. I'm just going to get started right now. And yet they don't. They procrastinate, et cetera. So I'm going to ask you this question. The opposite of the first, what is the cost of not doing the work, getting your book, or learning how to overcome self-sabotage?
Well, the cost can be very great because really it is the cost of all your dreams. And for so many people, you know, they go through their whole life and they realize, and we've heard many people say this, the biggest regret when they, at the end of their life, is what they didn't do, what they decided not to do or just procrastinated on or never achieved their dreams. And, you know, so what is it costing you in the area of joy, of peace, of your in your relationships, financially? There's so many areas where people are just not getting the results they want. And immediately when you know you are not getting the results you want and you want them consciously, you really, really want them, but you're not getting them, there is the cost right there. It's being highlighted for you.
it's costing you that. So when people say, well, I don't want to spend that money on therapy, or I don't want to, you know, talk about it, or is it going to really make a difference? You know, we understand that, because there's been a lot of people who've done therapy for many, many years who've come to us, who've truly been in therapy for 10 years, 15 years, who say, I can't believe the difference in one or five sessions, the difference. And the difference is because we're working at the subconscious level. This is not just conscious talking, because we realize you can talk till you're blue in the face sometimes and it still won't make a difference. But if you are working at that subconscious level and reprogramming it, knowing that, you know, Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about this, you know, 95 to 99% of the day we are in subconscious mode. Think about this, 95 to 99% of the day in subconscious mode, in autopilot, based on these old programs. And it's like, you know, what's happening here? Those old programs with a virus, with a defect in them that we've inherited in our life, are running the show. And only 1 to 5% is that conscious mind or our wonder mind active. So, you know, we may have all these noble goals about being really conscious minded and we're going to do it. And for some people, you know, they have a stronger conscious mind. But for a lot of people, a lot of human race, we are being operated mostly in that subconscious mode, and we need that support. We need the help, and this is where this therapy really makes a difference, at changing it at that level. So then all of a sudden, it's easier.
I understand.
It's just not in the way.
Indeed, I like to punctuate that point. The amount of time our unconscious is actually in charge, I think the data clearly shows it's 90% or more. Mm-hmm. You know, when fMRI technicians watch the brain make a decision, they'll know what the decision is as much as 10 seconds before the subject making the decision knows it, because it is made in the unconscious. And that's just a fact. And to me, that punctuates your point greater than anything else you can think of. I'm going along thinking I'm making my own decisions when indeed they're being made for me. Now, let me ask this. Tanya told us a compelling story about, you know, when she was 4 or 5 years old and lost her father, the first male in her life. A lot of therapies, you know, they really don't adapt for children. Does this adapt for children? And if so, how young?
Well, it does adapt for children. And as long as they're at the place of being consciously aware that they want something different. And it's been very interesting, because I have worked on children that are even 7 years old and 8 years old, because at that point they realize that they're not doing what they should be doing. And they have that ability to, their conscious mind is developing and they're starting to realize they feel guilty for not doing it, or they're disappointing mom and dad, or somehow they just can't get out of, whether it's a funk, they're really like, you know, upset or sad, or they're angry, or they're having these emotions and they don't know why, but they're, you know, they're apologizing for them, or they're not eating their vegetables when they're supposed to eat their vegetables, or they're just reacting in a poor manner. Long as they have that conscious ability to say, I don't like this, or, you know, they can't concentrate at school, or they're having problems, and they want something to be different. And that's what's amazing, even with these children, boy, and it happens so quick. It works so quickly with them.
All right, well, great. You know, with that, the instance, we have a caller who has a question about her children. Let's take that phone call, shall we?
Okay.
Let's go to line one and talk to Heather out of Jacksonville, Florida. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Heather.
Hi, thank you.
You have a question.
Yeah, the lady was talking about when her parents divorced and that affected her for the rest of her life. What if we're going through a divorce now? How do we prevent our kids from feeling that way?
Okay, so thank you for calling in. One of the most important is to really spend the time to, you know, a lot. I think as adults, we think that our children, oh, they're fine. They're going to get on it. They're going to get over it. And they know that they're okay because I love them. And they're, you know, they see we love them. But we really have to get into dialogue with their children and start looking at, well, what are you thinking about this? What are you deciding about this? To really have intimate conversations and to just even to understand. I mean, I think even reading the book, you start to understand in all of these scenarios, there's some pretty basic decisions that we make, including, like we're saying, these seven subconscious beliefs that sabotage our life. And children are making them, because this is where it all comes from. All of the adults where we work with them, and they're 75 years old, believe it or not, they're from womb right to, you know, 14 years of age. They're the most pivotal times, or and especially from womb to seven. So knowing that your children are making these decisions, it doesn't matter. Every day they're going to. First of all, you can't feel guilty about it. You can't obsess about it, because it is just part of the human function of the mind. We do. We make assessments and decisions about life. But to be a parent who's truly in dialogue with your child, to sit your child down every once in a while, maybe 2-3 times a week, and let's talk. Let's share our feelings. Let's have some time together to share our feelings. How do you feel about that? So what do you think that means about you? Are you making any decision about yourself? And that's really where we can get them, you know, expressing themselves and saying, well, I think maybe I could have made a difference. If I was a good girl, maybe I would have made a difference. You know, is it my fault? See, these things then start coming out. And then you can talk about them, and then you can correct their feelings about it in the moment, and really, really explain that to them in the moment. It's the only way really to do it.
And if they don't answer you, if they say everything's fine?
I would still keep digging in, or spend a little bit more time with them. You know, sometimes parents are so busy in their schedule that all you really have is like 5 minutes to sit down, or 10 minutes. But sometimes we need to be a little bit longer with the child so that they can open up more. Or just even knowing that these are some of the basic beliefs that will be made by a child. When you understand about what children make, like, for example, in a divorce, you know, that is it their fault? Were they a bad girl? Could they have done something better? Or am I a bad boy? Could I have made a difference? I should have controlled it. I should have made it better. You can already head these things off by having those direct conversations with them, like by taking your child, looking in their eyes, and saying, honey, I want you to know this was nothing to do with you. This was only to do with mommy and daddy, and then explaining it in any way you can. Because that's what we do really in the therapy, in healing the child within now as an adult, even when they're 60 years old, and we're going back and healing that 5-year-old or 8-year-old child within. It's kind of having the same conversation. So now you have an opportunity as an adult to just head it off by having those meaningful conversations, by even if they're not saying it, go to them, right to their eyes, right to them, and make sure that it really hits home with them.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
And if I can just make another suggestion too, is that, you know, depending on the age of your child, if they're very young, especially, most of their decisions are subconscious. They can't even get in touch with their feelings. They're not sophisticated enough to understand. They just know their stomach hurts, so they don't feel well. And so ultimately, you know, if you can spend some time holding your child, and in that time, you know, deliver the beliefs you want them to have. You are so loved. Mommy and daddy love you so much. We're still friends. The world is good. You know, that kind of thing, really affirming the positive beliefs you want them to walk away with, that too truly helps.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling, Heather. You know, we haven't got a lot of time here, about one more minute. What I'd like you to do in that time is tell everybody where they can get your book, how they can reach out to you, contact you, and in other ways, learn more about PNRT.
Thank you, Eldon. We've loved being on your show. So the name of the book is Undermined: Discover the 7 Subconscious Beliefs That Sabotage Your Life and How to Overcome Them. We actually have a revised edition that's coming out on Amazon.com, and you can get it on Amazon, or you can go right to PNRT.ca and learn more about it and hear some of the interviews and get in touch with us at info@PNRT.ca if you have a specific situation.
That's PNRT.ca, as in Canada, right?
Correct.
Hello?
Yes.
Is that right?
Exactly right. Yes. PNRT.
Okay, good. It is a great book, and I really do recommend it is a book that will help you get past a lot of issues in your life by discovering what those issues are in the first place. Tremendous technology. My congratulations to both of you.
Okay.
We've come to the end of another hour of Provocative Enlightenment. I want to thank the team at Hay House Radio for making what we do on this show so pleasurable. And, of course, a big thank you to our guests and to all of you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed our show, and we'll join us again next week, same time and same place. And if you have comments on our show, do let us know. Okay, until next time, wherever you are in the world, remember, believing in yourself always matters.